Hey, it's Steph, and welcome to the Straight Up with Steph podcast, where we have real discussions around health and life and just trying to be better at both. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up with Steph. I'm Steph, your host, dental hygienist, and ergonomic specialist. Today, what we're going to talk about is ergonomic products. I get asked almost on a daily basis what people should use to help them with their ergonomics or their posture or something that can make their job easier or reduce their pain. I don't know about you, but I have been a victim of really clever marketing, especially on Instagram, where these awesome ads come up. The product looks awesome. I buy it, I get it, and it's a piece of crap. It's hard as a consumer, right, to know what is actually good and what's not. So today I'm hoping to shed some light on some of that. There are some really awesome ergonomic products out there. And when we're talking about ergonomics, it is about products. A lot of it is about the equipment that we're using and making sure that we're using it right. But just keep in mind, products is only one piece of the puzzle. When we're talking about ergonomics, it's kind of a holistic approach. It's all about what we're using as far as products and using it correctly, but it's also about us as far as our body awareness, making sure that we're not twisting or reaching or leaning. Just because you invest into these really great ergonomic products, it's not going to solve everything for you. It does take using good products and making sure that your body awareness and your movements are under control as well. Today, we're going to talk about ergonomic products that I personally have used, and I know that they can make a really big difference, with the exception of one, which is the electric handpiece. I'm a dental hygienist. I don't use a high-speed handpiece, but these newer electric handpieces are a really good option for dentists, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But everything else besides that, I use daily, and I know that it has really good ergonomic value. Today, we're going to talk about ergonomic loops. And no, not all loops are ergonomic. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll also talk about different seating options, suction devices, hand pieces, ergonomic instruments. And then I'm also going to talk about software. I've started using voice-activated perio charting software, and it has really made it much more efficient and much more ergonomic as far as charting on our patients. I'd also like to talk about hearing protection. We're going to talk about each one of those. Feel free to skip ahead to the chapter that applies to you, or just leave it on play and listen to me talk about everything. We are subject to really loud, high-pitched noises, which can damage our hearing over time, from our handpieces, our power instruments, our model trimmers, even the ultrasonic that cleans instruments in the back. If you've ever had one of those metal trays fall onto the ground, it is so loud, and things like that can damage our hearing. I use hearing protection when I go into the office, and these aren't like earplugs. People think when I say hearing protection, I mean earplugs, and it's not that. These go into your ear like earplugs, but they don't mute all of the sound out like earplugs do. They don't even muffle things. All it's doing is taking out that high pitch frequency out of the noise that goes into our ear, so it protects our hearing. You can still hear your patients. You can still talk. You're not shouting at your patients. You can have a normal conversation. They're very subtle, so people don't even realize that they're in, and they protect your hearing. Now, ultimately, we would have custom-made hearing protection. You go to an audiologist, get something custom-made for you. That's the best. That's not an option for some people. So there are some devices out there that offer really good protection, and I'll link those down below. At my office, we also use walkies. So we have an earpiece. I'm able to just keep the earpiece on top of my ear and have my hearing protection in at the same time, and I can still hear everything. Now, if you're at an office where you have an actual piece that goes into your ear from your walkie, you'll want to use that on one ear and then use the hearing protection on your other ear. Hearing loss is cumulative, and it happens over time, just like radiation, right? That adds up over time. So does hearing damage. I don't want to be hard of hearing when I'm older. Honestly, I'm a little hard of hearing now. I'm that person who someone will be talking to me and I'm like, what? What? And it's annoying for me and it's annoying for them. I don't want that to get any worse, so that's why I'm using hearing protection now. I wish I would have known about this a long time ago, because I would have started from the get with hearing protection and maybe would have better hearing now. So whatever you use, whether it's custom made or something that you order from Amazon or over the counter, please use something to protect your hearing, because once it's gone, it's gone. Loops. And more specifically, ergonomic loops. Not all loops are ergonomic. I have a whole podcast episode on ergonomic loops that I'll link below. But when I say an ergonomic loop, you want to make sure that it is supporting you in neutral head position. When you have your head upright, your ear stacked on top of your shoulder with minimal forward head tilt. When I'm doing assessments on clinicians, most of them are using loops, which is great. However, I see a lot of them tipping their head forward. And if you're not watching me on YouTube, I'm just tipping my head forward and looking down into my lap. That's called neck flexion, and we want as little neck flexion as possible. Unfortunately, a lot of loops, up until recently with the development of ergonomic loops, force us to still tip our head forward. I've been practicing about 16 years. I've gone through a number of loops over that time, and every one except for the ergonomic ones that have come out recently forced me into this neck flexion and forward head position. If you think about it, we only have one neck, and that neck needs to last us a really long time. So if we are constantly in this forward neck flexion, sooner or later, we're going to develop some pain and potential injury because of that. Thankfully, now we have ergonomic loops. These are loops that provide really nice magnification. There's all kinds of different mag options, but they support you in an upright head position to where you do not have to tip your head forward at all. You can think of these like looking through a microscope. We're looking straight ahead through the scope, but because of the design and the scope, we're able to see down into the patient's mouth. I've got my pair here, and if you're not watching me on YouTube, you might want to check this out just so that you can see what I'm talking about. But the scope here, the scope is the part that your eyes look through. If you look at these, there is a bend in the scope, just like there is in a microscope. So when I put these on, I can look straight into the scope, but because of the angle, I can see down into the patient's mouth. These are actually almost kind of freaky for someone who's not used to seeing clinicians wearing them, because it looks like we're not even looking at the patient. It looks like we're looking straight ahead out the window or into the wall, but we're actually able to see down into the patient's mouth. I wish I would have had these back when I was in hygiene school, like 18 years ago. These weren't an option back then, but thank God they are now. I think these are a no-brainer for anyone who's practicing dentistry. The sooner you can get into a pair of these and get used to them, the better. I do go more in detail as far as the questions I always get about these loops, as far as magnification, how you can get used to them. Can you use them for everything? Is there anything you can't use them for? And I answer all of those in the episode about ergonomic loops. So definitely check that out if you have those questions. Another point on loops is I think everyone in the practice should be using loops. Dentists, any kind of specialist, hygienist, and assistants. I actually just put a post out today. I don't know when you're listening to this episode, but the time of this recording, I put a post out today talking about the importance of assistants wearing loops. And believe it or not, I've gotten some blowback about that post. Assistants, especially nowadays, assistants are doing so many more functions than they used to 15 years ago. Where I'm at in Colorado, assistants are like little mini dentists running around. They're able to place fillings. They're able to make temporary crowns and adjust those temporary crowns. They're checking the bite. They're adjusting occlusion on those temporary crowns. They're placing sealants. They're polishing. So why aren't they wearing loops? As far as I know, assistants don't have any better vision than the rest of us. And unfortunately, when I'm doing assessments, I do see assistants hunched over, whether they're chair side offering the dentist support with the patient or they're working directly on the patient. And why is this? It's because they can't see. We are working on tiny little white things inside of a small black thing. And we need magnification for that. And I don't care what position in the office you're in. So I do recommend loops for assistants as well. And while we're on the topic about loops, let's talk about headlamps. This little guy right here that's attached onto my loops, this is a headlamp. This headlamp here provides such better light than the overhead light does. And it's fixed to us. So it moves with us. We're not having to worry about shadowing or our hands getting in the way of the light. We don't have to reach overhead constantly for that overhead light because the light is fixed to us. I think everyone should be using headlamps, including assistants. Now, if we have an assistant or any kind of practitioner that doesn't wear loops for whatever reason, you can get headlamps that clip on to safety glasses. This is the best ergonomic light option for us in the operatory. Now let's talk about ergonomic stools. Just think about how long we're sitting on our stools. It's hours a day times however many days a month we're working. That adds up after months and years. We are on our stools for a long time. We want to make sure that we're using a stool that's ergonomic, that supports us, that allows us to have good posture. And unfortunately, not all stools allow us to do that. Many times there are stools at the practice. Whenever we start working at an office, they have a particular stool. Usually that same stool is for every single operatory, and then we just use it because it's the one that's there. Do we think about, is this stool best for my body? Does it actually support me? Does it actually fit me? We need to start looking at stools like they're a pair of pants. The one that fits me likely isn't going to fit you. We all have different heights, widths, torso lengths, inseams, all of this needs to be considered when we're picking out a stool. We need to learn if the stool that we've been provided is actually good for us. If it's not, we need to know how to pick out a better stool. Before I started learning about ergonomics, I didn't think twice about what stool I was sitting on. In all the offices that I've worked in over my 16 years of practice, I was provided a regular traditional stool. What I mean by that is there's a flat seat that you sit on with a backrest. These, unfortunately, are not the best option for a lot of us. I was taught in dental hygiene school to have a 90-degree angle between my torso and my thighs. This is not the best way for us to sit. And if you want more information on stools or how to use your stool, please check out my episode on stools that I'll link down below. When we're sitting on any kind of stool, we do not want a 90-degree angle between our torso and our thighs, with our thighs being parallel to the floor. That 90-degree angle really tightens the hips. A lot of us in dentistry have really tight hip flexors, and tight hips directly translates to low back issues. When we're sitting on a stool with that 90-degree bend between our torso and our thighs, our lumbar spine is not curved the way it should be. We want our lumbar spine to have a curve in it. It's there for a reason, and it helps us to have good posture. When we're sitting that way, typically, our pelvis rolls backwards, which flattens out that curve in the lumbar spine, which is uncomfortable. It causes tight hips and it makes our back hurt. Plus, it increases the pressure in those little discs in the lumbar spine as well. Not the best way to sit. What I recommend for most dental providers is using a saddle type stool. When you're sitting on a saddle stool, your hips are above your knees, which is good because it opens up the angle of the hip. But because it's opening up that angle, it also allows that curve in the lumbar spine to stay there, which really helps our posture. If you think of someone sitting on horseback that's riding a horse and they're in their saddle, they have excellent posture. And that's what these saddle stools kind of mimic. It feels much better to sit this way. I promise you, you will notice less tension in your hips and your back. But it also helps with positioning. The way we want to sit on a saddle stool is to sit really high as you can comfortably with your feet being flat on the floor. If you want more information or demos on saddle stools, go to my Instagram. I have a saddle stool highlight, which goes over brands that I like, questions to ask your rep, and also there's video demonstrations on how to position your saddle stool. We want our hips to be way above our knees. Just imagine if you're sitting on a traditional stool, you've got that 90-degree bend, and your legs are jutting out in front of you. What happens when we try to get close to the patient chair? Our legs and our knees bump into that patient chair and we can't get as close as we want to. And this leads people to either spread their legs out, spread eagle, which isn't great for the hips, or we start to twist or reach because we can't get close enough. These saddle stools, because you're sitting higher, your thighs are sloping down to the floor and your legs are spread apart a little bit. So you can get much closer to your patient chair. I know this is hard to visualize when I'm just talking about it, so please check out those videos I've made for you. There are some people that cannot tolerate a saddle stool. If people have something called lordosis, which is excessive curvature of that lumbar spine, a saddle stool isn't going to feel great for them because it like almost makes that curve curvier, which they don't need, and it just doesn't feel good. So there's another option. If you go to my website under discounts, there is a saddle stool company that has this particular stool. And if you look at the seat pan, so the seat pan is the part of the stool that your butt sits on. Their seat pan is not a rectangle or a square like these traditional dental stools. It looks like a bike seat. It's triangular. So it still allows your legs to be out to the side. You can still sit nice and high in those chairs. It doesn't cause that lumbar curve to curve more inward where it would be uncomfortable for someone who has lordosis. So there are other options besides a saddle stool. There are some newer traditional stools that have come out that are pretty decent, but I would say for the most part, people are using these old, outdated, non-ergonomic dental stools, which when you think of how often we're using our stool, it's not really the best option for us. If we're using a stool that isn't ergonomic or that isn't adjusted correctly, it can actually cause damage on its own over time. We already have enough issues in dentistry. We don't need our stool to be causing issues for us. Now let's talk about suction devices. Something I see a lot, whether you're a hygienist, a dentist, or an assistant, is the clinician holding onto the suction, whether that be the saliva ejector or the HVE in one hand, and they're using either their handpiece or power scaler in the other. If this is you, don't feel bad. I used to do it too, but there's options out there for us. Why this is bad is typically when we're holding onto that suction, we're holding it with a death grip, which that is called excessive grip force. We're typically holding on to that thing with a death grip, which really strains these forearm muscles, and it can cause issues with our wrist and our elbow and up into our shoulder and neck because we're also retracting, right? We're retracting a really strong cheek or a strong tongue, and we're out in chicken wing. So we've got like three things happening that aren't good all at one time, all on our suction arm. The other issue is because we're holding on to the suction, we cannot use our mirror. And sure, there are some areas in the mouth where you can use direct vision and be fine. But for most areas, we need to use our indirect vision. So if I'm out here holding the suction with a death grip, out here in chicken wing and retracting, that is a lot of tension and strain on the non-dominant hand. Plus, if I'm trying to work on number 14 distal lingual without my mirror, what am I going to look like? You can imagine I'm going to be literally upside down trying to see that. If you have any issues with your wrist or your elbow or your forearms, you might want to check out the episode I made all about pinch force, which I'll link below. Before COVID, and especially after COVID, there are so many different suction devices out there. What I recommend is something that will allow you to have hands-free suction. And again, so many different choices out there. I'll put the link to my website down below where I've got several different suction devices on there so you can see. Even besides those, there's a lot of different ones too. There's some that control aerosols. There's some that don't. There's some that plug into the high back. There's some that go onto the saliva ejector. Whichever one you use, just make sure that it's something that allows you to have hands-free suction so that you can hold your mirror with a light grip in your non-dominant hand, bring in that chicken wing, and you don't have to worry about suction. These are also comfortable for the patient, and they're just more efficient and ergonomic for us. Now, I just mentioned a light grip on the mirror, so that is a great segue into ergonomic instruments. When I say ergonomic instruments, what I mean, and this is an example of, this is one of my very favorite instruments that I've used, it's called the Montana Jack. When we're talking about an ergonomic instrument, we want the handle to be nice and wide. This is a skinny mirror handle. There are some instruments that also have skinny handles. If you're not watching me on YouTube, I'm holding up a old school mirror with a really skinny, heavy mirror handle. When we're holding on to something like this, whether it be the mirror or a scaler or a composite instrument or whatever, we have to use a lot more pinch force. We have to use a lot more force with our fingers to hold on to this instrument. That increase in pinch force can cause issues like tendonitis, carpal tunnel, just general fatigue of the hand, forearm, and up into the elbow. Just think about writing with a pen. Would you rather write with a really skinny pen or a pen that has a nice fat handle? I would rather hold on to a pen or an instrument that has a nice wide handle. You use less pinch force, less strain with your fingers and your wrist and your elbow. Another aspect of an ergonomic instrument is you want to make sure it's textured. If you see there, there's texture on the grip. That again allows us to have less pinch force. If we're trying to hold on to something really smooth and slippery, especially if it gets wet, which happens because we're working in the mouth, you have to use a lot of pinch force, a lot of grip to hold on to that thing. So this knurling or the texturing on the handle really helps. So you want it to be wide, textured, and you also want it to be light. Again, with something really heavy, the skinny, heavy mirror handle, you have to use a lot more pinch force to hold on to that. So something lighter is going to be easier for us. With instruments, you want to make sure that you're keeping the tips nice and sharp. We all know the joy of working with a brand new instrument versus something that has gotten dull over time. So we want to make sure that we're sharpening those because that's going to be less strokes and less pinch force for us as well. Now, when I'm doing assessments, I haven't seen once a hygienist specifically using a skinny scaler handle. They're all using these nice fat instrument handles, which is great. But what do I see often is they're still using mirrors like this, the skinny, heavy mirror handle. If we think about our non-dominant hand holding on to this mirror handle, we have to use a death grip, right? Because we just have to for something that's skinny and heavy like this. But we're also retracting a really strong cheek or a strong tongue, and that is a lot of strain for our non-dominant hand. Plus, a lot of times we're out here in chicken wing. I think the non-dominant arm or hand is even under more strain than our dominant one because it's not moving at all. It's just, and our body's meant to move. So it's just holding this really static, awkward posture out here in chicken wing with no support. And eventually a lot of people develop issues with their non-dominant arm because of that. So I do recommend ergonomic mirrors. Same concept as the ergonomic instrument, but mirror style. This is a great option. This one is a mirror handle from PDT. This one is from Zerk. I really like these because of this nice rubber section here. It just makes it really easy to hold. These are nice and light. And the mirror heads, you want to pay attention to those too. I don't know what it is about us, but we want to squeeze every last millimeter of clear mirror space on these. Like, they get scratched up, but if we have one little section that we can still see out of, we think it's good. I mean, try to look at the distal buckle of number 14 when you only have like a millimeter of clear mirror space. That doesn't make it very efficient, and it makes it actually really frustrating to use your mirror. So if you get a mirror that's all scratched up, just pitch it and get a new one. It's going to be worth it for you. There's also mirror defoggers out there. Something else that makes it frustrating when try to use a mirror is when it gets fogged up. So just using a mirror defogger. There's all kinds of different ones out there. Or some people even dip the mirror head in Listerine throughout the appointment, and that kind of helps act as a defogger as well. But indirect vision is key for us to have good posture and good ergonomics. Now let's talk about handpieces. I'm going to talk about cordless handpieces and then the electric handpiece. I've used a cordless polisher like this one for the past couple years, and I will never go back unless I absolutely have to. You don't realize how hard that cord is pulling on you until it's not there anymore. These are so great because they're lightweight. You don't have that cord pulling against you. And there's all kinds of different ones out there. This is just one example. This is the ProMate from Pacden. This is the one I use. It's nice because it has these autoclavable sheaths. It comes with three of these. So as long as you keep them going through the statum, you should be good throughout the day. This is nice also because it accepts any kind of prophy ankle. I'm partial to the ones that this company has because they have an anti-splatter line, which is really nice, but you can use any kind of prophy ankle, which is great. Another aspect to cordless handpieces is how it's powered. Some use a foot pedal. This one, you have the option of either using the foot pedal or you can use this button that's on the handle. And there's different settings too. So you can go really fast or really slow. But this is nice if you don't want to use the foot pedal. I recommend standing quite often. And so this is a great option so that you don't have to worry about trying to balance on the foot pedal when you're standing. You could just use the button. There's some polishers out there that you use just the foot pedal. There is no button. Some have both like this one. There's some that do not have a foot pedal at all and just rely on the button. So there's all kinds of different ones out there. These are a really nice option for hygienists to invest in themselves, or if offices want to provide them for your hygienist, I promise you they'll love you for it. Now let's talk about electric handpieces for dentists. These aren't new at all. These have been around for quite a long time, actually, and they're not the norm, especially here in the US. They're used a lot more in Europe, but I hope that over time, because they've gotten a lot better, that we'll start using them more here in the States. But the older ones weren't as ergonomic as the ones that they have now. They're now much lighter than they used to be, and they're lighter than the air-driven handpieces, and they're more balanced across your hand, which means less strain on the wrist and the hand. You use these handpieces differently. So with the air-driven handpiece, you're doing that feathering technique, right? Which can lead to more time in the chair, and it's more repetitive motion of your hand and your wrist. With the electric handpieces, you're almost milling the tooth, because when the burr from an electric handpiece comes into contact with the tooth, it doesn't slow down and it doesn't stall like some of the air-driven ones. It has consistent speed and consistent torque so that you can literally just mill the tooth sometimes in one motion, which is less repetitive motion for you, and it's less time in the mouth. Another aspect is the noise. We are at risk in dentistry of getting hearing loss or hearing damage because of all of the really high-pitched noises we have in the office. These electric handpieces are quieter. They have less of that really high-pitched, shrill-type noise that can cause damage for us. So it's great for us as far as protecting our hearing, and the patients appreciate it too. The newer electric handpieces also are smaller. They have a smaller head, which is really nice for accessing the posterior teeth. Air-driven typically are cheaper up front, but if you think of the long-term issues with that as far as more repetitive motion, they're louder, they're heavier, more risk of developing hand and wrist issues, it does make sense to pay more upfront for an electric handpiece because that's going to save you money in the long run. If you want to switch from air-driven to electric, it's a really easy transition onto whatever system you have. Now let's talk about software. Specifically, what I'm talking about is voice-activated perio charting software. Anyone who's doing perio charting, whether it be the dentist or the hygienist, we all know that charting ourselves is a problem, because we're working on the patient and then our computer is typically next to us or behind us. So we're either reaching to type in the numbers or we're literally twisting around and putting the numbers into the computer and then twisting back to work on the patient. This repetitive twisting to one direction is not good for us. Neither is the reaching, but it's inefficient too. It takes forever because we can only do a few teeth at a time and then we have to put it into the computer. It just takes a long time. Yes, it's great if we have an assistant that can help us plug the numbers in. However, is that the best use of our assistant's time, plugging the numbers into the computer? Not really, especially when we have these options now. I used voice-activated charting software over 10 years ago, and it was not a great experience. The little microphone would pick up my voice, but also all of the background noise in the office. So sometimes it would literally just start charting on its own, and then I would have to take the thing off and do it myself anyway, and it was really frustrating. Or it would mishear what I'm saying, and then I would just have to do it myself. It's come a long way since then. A lot of these are powered by AI. So it learns your voice and it learns your cadence and how you chart, and it only gets better and faster over time. These do not pick up background noise. They pick up your voice, and it's really rare that it ever makes a mistake. You can chart things like recession, bleeding, furcations, mobility, attachment loss, pocket depths, anything you would otherwise you can use the system for. You can do a full mouth, comprehensive perio chart in under 5 minutes. Using this type of software is even faster than if you were using an assistant. It's not wasting the valuable time of an assistant either. If you click the link down below for my discount page, it will take you to my website where I have all kinds of discounts on ergonomic products, including voice-activated charting software. You can try this for free, and I would be really surprised if you didn't love it as much as I do. All right, that's all I've got for you today on ergonomic products. I hope this was helpful for you. If you have questions on something you want to invest in or something that you're thinking about, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I promise I will always give you my unbiased, honest opinion. You can contact me through here. You can send me a DM on Instagram. You can shoot me an email. Contact me through my website. I will get back to you, I promise. If this content is helpful for you, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel or following my show. And if you really love it, I'd appreciate a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Straight Up with Steph and being interested in living better. What many listeners do is subscribe to the podcast because that allows them to automatically get the latest episodes of the show. Remember, you are the best person to take care of you, and by learning what we talk about on this show, you're taking one more step to being a healthier and happier you. I'll talk to you soon.